Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So, yeah, welcome back to my channel. So I've been exceedingly busy the past few days. I know it's an egregious dereliction of duty on my behalf, but I shan't be negligent any longer. Right. So there are calls for Suella Braverman to tender her resignation as Home Secretary, although I don't think it's going to happen that soon. I mean, I don't think she's going to last long into New Year. But I've said for some time, I think her days are numbered. But so I don't think it'll be this side of Christmas. But she's certainly not going to be there the next election. So Suella Braverman, this hard woman of the Tory right, as she tries to pose, she was saying that the Metropolitan Police ought to have prohibited the pro-Palestinian demonstration in London, which is due to take place, I think it's tomorrow. So Remembrance Day now is obviously 11th November 1918. Was the end of the First World War. So usually celebrating Remember a Sunday, the nearest Sunday there too. But it's actually, tomorrow is the 11th, that's a Saturday. But so is it particularly galling they're doing it that day? Now, of course, this demonstration saying hands off Gaza could take place any day, could take place today, it's a Friday. You have to do these large scale demonstrations in coordination with the police because they're walking on the road that blocks the traffic. And the police have to weigh up your right to demonstrate with the right of the public to go about their lawful business. So the police might say, yes, we grant permission, but only between these hours, only a Saturday, only a Sunday, so as not to cause excessive disruption to other people who want to use the streets for ordinary purposes. But Suella Braverman has said these are hate marches. She's an outspoken philo-Semite. She points out her husband is Jewish. She says anti-Semitic remarks are hurtful to her personally, even though that's not her background. She's ethnically Indian. Her parents moved to the United Kingdom from, I think, Mauritius and Kenya, respectively. She was originally brought up a Christian. Her surname is Fernandez, suggesting some Portuguese forebears. But she's, in fact, a Buddhist now, so she has rejected the faith of her ascendants. Presumably, most of them were Hindus, if you go far enough back. Anyway, so remember, the Metropolitan Police, they have control over this issue. It's not up to the Home Secretary. That would be politicised policing. And she asked them to do it. They have refused to do it, rightly, okay, because I do think it's distasteful to do it on Remembrance Sunday, if that's they're doing it, or maybe even tomorrow. However, it's not illegal. I don't see grounds for it. It's illegality. Moreover, the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police has said that they have no intelligence to believe that violence is likely at this. It's going to be placed near the cenotaph. Some rather nationalistic protesters said they're going to be there to defend the cenotaph, including Tommy Robinson. He was once a luminary of the English Defence League, which many perceived as being Islamophobic, though he says it's not. He's actually recanted some of his wilder views now. Tommy Robinson, his proper name is it something Yaxley Lennon. He always goes by this alias, a man with a string of convictions. All right, so people said there could be clashes by these British nationalists. Some people see them as white supremacists. But the EDL said, no, we're multiracial. We have black members, we have South Asian members. We have members who are not from Christian backgrounds, so Hindus and Sikhs and Jews, even at least one Muslim member. They're very pro-gay and so on. It's about 75% male, that outfit, the EDL, which I think is dissolved, but I suppose it's the remnants, the erstwhile EDL, who are looking for a home, looking for a cause. Anyway, Suella Braverman, she's manifestly failed to deliver on the Rwanda plan. 4 years later, hundreds of millions of pounds later, and I spoke to one of the barristers involved in this, you know, there's court case after court case, and there's actually a landmark ruling coming up. Obviously, you don't know which way it's going to go, but all this money is spent and not a single person deported. That ship is at the BB Stockholm. They put some people on that ship to house them for a while. And, you know, the Rwanda plan, if it was good in principle, it just actually hasn't got off the ground. I mean, I support in principle if Rwanda was a safe place. Some people say it's not and the healthcare isn't good enough and blah, blah, blah. Are there other countries that could do this? Partly so people come illegally to the United Kingdom. They know you will not get in. You will be processed elsewhere, blah, blah, blah. Your claim is accepted, maybe then allowed into the UK. And is it cheaper for the United Kingdom to do this in other countries, takes pressure off the National Health Service and so forth, and actually enriches a less economically developed country. So that's Suella Braverman. A lot of people say she's positioning for the Conservative leadership after the forthcoming most assured overthrow of the Conservative and Unionist Party. And she's made a contentious remark saying that homelessness is a lifestyle choice. Now, I mean, occasionally it is. And I've spoken to homeless people who said that, and they've actually had alternatives and they could go into a shelter, but no, I want to have my dog with me. I wouldn't be allowed the dog in there. You can't bring alcohol in there and blah, blah, blah. But others who are not, and through no fault of their own, or so it is through some fault of their own, but they don't want to be homeless. People with drug addiction, alcoholism, people who joined the armed forces at 17 who were subliterate, and the army did everything for them, gave them tax-free alcohol. They left the armed forces age 22 with a drinking problem, still functionally illiterate, unable to fill out an application for a job or do anything like that or find a place to rent, and they end up on the street as panhandlers. People who are mentally ill, obviously, is Maggie Thatcher's care in the community for the psychiatrically ill, and they're suffering these derangements in mind. Well, they ended up in the community, but without much care. But were they actually happier keeping them hospitalized, drugged up their eyeballs, just zonked? So these conditions are often manageable, but not really curable. So I know it's very dispiriting. I've spoken to some psychiatrists like that. I don't know how they do it. You know, physical health, you can often cure the person. Psychiatric illnesses, these are often chronic. They'll just have it intermittently for their entire life. Various episodes, you know, varying between lucidity and a complete state of derangement. So, yeah, I think she's in trouble. Though some Conservative MPs have spoken up for her, but that's only about 50 out of more than 350. So, yeah, there's jockeying for position for when Rishi Sunak falls. So she's tried to jostle there. But I think she's seen as more than two standard deviations from the mean. And also seeing as mean Cruella as everybody is labeling her, saying these are hate marches. Well, some of the pro-Palestinian demonstrators say, no, it's a peace march. What we want is a ceasefire, humanitarian aid. We're demanding adherence to international law, to humanitarian law, to the Geneva Convention, the Hague Convention, and so forth. And yes, some of them have chanted from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, things like that, which people perceive as anti-Israeli, some people say as anti-Semitic. But of the tens of thousands of the march, how many said that? Really, what she'll pick out is the most tendentious thing anybody has said and try and tar them all the same brush, which is preposterous and grossly unjust. One bad apple doesn't mean the whole bunch is bad like that, calling them mobs and so on. Not saying that about pro-Israeli demonstrations, but you might say, yes, so that because the Zionist ones really don't behave as a mob. I mean, there are rather few of them. They tend to be less youthful and so on. But I think Suella Braverman, she did make some valid points saying that there was selective policing. It's very politicized policing as it is, even though it's not directly controlled by a political party, because the police, they seem to be middle-class left-wing intellectuals, not the right-wing conservatives that they were two generations ago. So really the shock troops of the far left try to aggressively enforce a leftist ideology. But that's happened under a conservative government. So look in the mirror, Suella. You know, you can set the guidelines. The police and all these spending most of their time going trans courses. I can't remember who that commentator was. It's a Russian-British chap, said, how many arrests over Facebook posts in Russia last year? 500. How many arrests over Facebook posts in the United Kingdom? Over 3,000. Bear in mind that Russia's got double the population of the UK. So on that basis, you're 12 times more likely to be arrested over Facebook posts in the United Kingdom than Russia. 12 times. It's staggering. Worse than one of the most oppressive countries in the world. I know the penalties are not quite so stiff. So the police, they shouldn't be spending any time policing social media. Only if it really is incitement to violence or incitement to racial hatred, and the bar for that should be high, that they should intervene. Because otherwise they're not dealing with real crime. Like when I'm a victim of crime and my bicycle gets stolen and the police don't want to know. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. So please make sure you donate on Patreon to see thousands of articles and videos behind the paywall. And make sure you dig deep. Get that credit card out and give me all the details. And just empty your bank account to donate to me, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Okay, bye-bye.